तमाम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। We are starting a new course today. So we had been discussing, we had parallelly both Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Laghu Bhagavatamrita going on in the afternoon sessions. So we used to have 12 to 1:30 Brihad Bhagavatamrita and 2:30 to 3:30 Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So once Laghu Bhagavatamrita got over, we decided that to have two separate sessions in the afternoon was getting little difficult. So we decided that we will have 1 2-hour session only in the afternoon. So we decided Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays we will have Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And now that Laghu Bhagavatamrita is over, it was our long desire that we wanted to start the 10th canto. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays every month, every week, we will have from 12 to 2 p.m. We will be doing from the 10th canto with the Sarathu Darshini commentary by Srila Krishna Chakravarti Thakur. So, as we had discussed before, as I had mentioned in the, in the registration procedure only, that this course is certainly not for beginners. This course is for those who have already been somewhat familiar with studying Srila Prabhupada's purports and have been practicing at least for the last, at least 5-6 years and have been and have the habit of regularly having studied Srila Prabhupada's books and still studying. So it is for them. So we will be reading from the Sarathu Darshini commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Actually, devotees suggested that there are so many different commentaries. Actually, for 10th canto alone, there are so many different commentaries which are available. And our acharyas, many of our Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas who have not commented on the other cantos of Bhagavatam have written very sweet special commentaries on the 10th canto. Why not take all the different commentaries parallelly together? Actually, I have had quite a few experiences of doing that. But over a period of time, I realized that's not a very intelligent idea. This is my personal experience. For example, we did do 10th canto with multiple commentaries, but over a period of time, it becomes very confusing because different acharyas use different terminologies. They explain things in slightly different ways. And, sometimes they use the same terminology with different connotations and it becomes quite confusing. So I felt it is always good to take one commentary and read it completely, and if necessary, we can go to some other commentary. But parallelly reading commentaries is something I felt was a little confusing, unless for particular words and you are very much aware of the style of writing of various acharyas and you're already very used to their styles of writing, their usage of particular terminologies, then it is possible. But otherwise it becomes a little confusing because while we are trying to get used to the style and the terminologies of one acharya, the other with multiple acharyas, who is using what in what way, it becomes quite confusing actually. So we will be doing only Sarathu Darshini here, like our morning Bhagavatam sessions. There are two parallel sessions happening. So first session we do Sarathu Darshini, and in the second session we do Srila Prabhupada's purport separately. So anyways, So today we will start with the 10th canto, which is of the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya matareshanugata nirodho muktir ashraya. So the ashraya tattva. So the one which gives shelter to the other 9 topics is the 10th topic, which is the 10th canto, which talks about Krishna's pastimes, right? So that is what we will start discussing today. And we have a slightly, okay, before we start, I would like to hear from at least a few of you, why you registered in the course. Of course, don't think that I'll be doing it every day. Generally, at the beginning of the course, it's just my curiosity to know with what expectations devotees generally register for the course. So only on the first day, I spend a few minutes to get some understanding of this. Not that I'm not promising that I will fulfill all those expectations, but at least I just wish to know, you know, just while starting the course, out of curiosity, what exactly was in your mind when you decided to register for the course. So would some of you like to share your thoughts? You know, what, why did you register for the course? What did you have in mind? Or if you have any questions or clarifications that you might want to ask about the nature of the course, so you may ask, or you can share, why did you register for the course? What exactly are your expectations? So would anyone like to share your thoughts on this? You can please raise your hands. I will unmute you and you can speak. Yes, Madhav Gaur Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Dandat Pranam Prabhu.
Dandat Prabhu.
Prabhuji, the idea of registering the course is just to increase, one is to increase our devotional mood by repeatedly hearing the various things in our scriptures. Generally, we are just content with Bhagavatam only. There are various commentaries on Acharyas, which are very deep into the subject, which we don't know. So, that we will have some kind of more analytical situations of the, you know, stories all will know, but the analysis of it generally, you know, very few will do the analysis, which we think that you are doing it. So we thought we will attend to this. This is actually increase our devotional mood further.
Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing. Yeah. The analysis part we will not do. The analysis part the acharyas have already done. We will try to read and reflect on them. But thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Mother Gail, I am quite surprised. It must be 2:00 a.m. for you.
Yeah.
I am quite surprised that you are.
Yeah, yes. I don't know how long I'll last, Prabhu, but just, you know, wish me luck. But anyway, you know, my thing is that I feel that, you know, all the philosophy that I hear is really supposed to culminate in hearing about these pastimes so that I can become inspired to love Krishna and therefore serve him, you know. So if I don't hear about these pastimes, it's like I'm missing the whole point, you know. I'm hoping that I will become more attracted to Krishna and thereby increase my desire to serve him from the heart.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mataji. Thank you for sharing. Murali Dattu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much. I have a couple of reasons. One is I would like to do a systematic study of the 10th canto, which I have not done. And I hope by that I would develop some taste. The deep taste which you have will rub off on me to some extent is my hope. Besides that, I think your approach in terms of teaching, I feel is very impactful in terms of your analysis or reflections, which you call, especially the recalling of the previous sessions, which is again, I find it reinforces the learnings, and your PowerPoint slides help us to go through again and become the treasure house for us. So your teaching style and my own disability are the two main factors. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Actually, Muralidhar Prabhu was one of the devotees who really pushed that, Prabhu, when I was starting 10th canto, when I was starting 10th canto. So, because I had promised him, that was one of the reasons we started 10th canto. Even though we had a few other options in mind, which we wanted to start in that slot, but somehow we decided on 10th canto because one of the reasons was Muralidhar Prabhu, he had been telling. And of course, there are other reasons too for this. Because the episodes of Brihad Bhagavatamrita that we are discussing, a lot of it, we realize that our ability to relish those sections will become all the more enhanced if we have a proper understanding of the 10th canto. So we decided that, you know, now that Laghu Bhagavatamrita is over, you know, it would be appropriate to also discuss the 10th canto. While of course we are systematically doing from the first canto onwards the morning sessions, but you know, my estimate is that it may take at least another 5-6 years for us to reach 10th canto there. So in that session, so better, I thought, you know, we start the 10th canto in the afternoon. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Anita Mataji. Anita Goyal Mataji, did you have your hands up?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandra Pranam to you and to all the devotees. The reason for my registering for the course is that 10th canto is a samam bonam, as you have said in the heading. And then by hearing Krishna Katha, by hearing all his beautiful leelas which he did while he was here, I think it will keep me absorbed in his in thinking about Krishna, and hopefully that will bring me closer to him. And then your style of analysis of each verse is very attractive, so that made me register for the course. These two reasons.
Thank you. Again, I would like to emphasize that not my analysis, those are the acharyas who have already analyzed. We are just reading them. Okay. Yes, Madhav Gaur Prabhu, you wanted to add something more?
What we are looking are not our individual analysis. While you are telling the acharya's analysis, we want to listen actually. Analysis means not our individual analysis. Whatever you are telling, acharya's commentaries analysis only, we are more interested to listen to increase our devotional mood. That's what I just want to clarify.
Yes. I understood. Yes.
It's not our own analysis. We are not interested. Prabhupada already told, you don't have to think anything. You just follow whatever I'm saying.
Yeah.
So we are in the same mood, Prabhuji. We don't have to think too much. Just follow Prabhupada's purpose, Prabhupada's commentaries, and Prabhupada's disciples, whatever they are saying. That's all, Prabhu, life.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you very much. Madhavi Gopi Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat Prabhuji. Dandavat to all Vaishnavas. Prabhuji, like for me, when I was reading the other cantos of Bhagavatam, although we have known certain stories, but then I came to know that there is so much to know when we read in detail from Bhagavatam, so many layers of it get unveiled. So similarly, 10th canto, Krishna book I have read, and other few books I have read. some Acharya's commentaries or sometimes from Anand Vrindavan Champu and things like that. But then I felt ki Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad's commentaries, they are more poetic and things like that. So when he describes about Krishna, how so much of a rasa will be unveiled, and 10th canto especially said as the face of the Lord. So how much beauty will get unveiled, and that too when so many Vaishnavas are together, the rasa all the more increases. So I just prayed, because from the time point of view it was quite pressing, but still I couldn't resist myself. So Krishna willing, I just pray that I should be able to, you know, complete properly. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Madhuri. Thank you. Actually, it is said that, you know, one devotee was sharing that, you know, about each acharya brings in a particular flavor in their commentaries. So, like Sridhar Swami, Sridhar Swami is like a magistrate. He passes judgment, you know, like this is the fact, that's it, you know. And so he's like a magistrate. So his statements are taken like judgment by the subsequent acharyas. Oh, Sridhar Swami has said, which means they don't even say Sridhar Swami. They say Swami has said. Swami means Sridhar Swami. So his statements are like judgment, you know. Court judgment, you know. Very. And Jiva Goswami is like a mathematician. His commentaries are like mathematics, you know. So A equals B, B equals C, hence A equals C, hence proof, you know, like that. So he presents, you know, the proofs and then concludes like that. So Jiva Goswami's commentaries are like, you know, it's a mathematician's masterpiece. And Sridhar Swami is a magistrate. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is a musician. So his commentaries are so poetic and musical to the heart of devotees. So very nourishing there, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnava faith, you know. So that is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada is a magician. So his commentaries are magical in the sense, just like a magician, out nowhere he will pull a rabbit out of a hat. So you don't know, I mean, where is the rabbit, where is the hat? Out of the hat, how did the rabbit come? You would be wondering. Similarly, Prabhupada, out of nowhere he will pull out devotional purports, you know, whether it is Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, you know, whatever he pulls out, you know, bhakti comes out of it, right? Because ultimately that is the essence of all these teachings. What is the use of describing in detail about Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, when it is practically not possible to practice it in today's day and age? Okay. So each acharya brings in a particular kind of mood and flavor in their commentaries, actually. So, yeah. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries are very, very pleasing to devotees, especially devotees in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, because it nourishes their Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding and Gaudiya Vaishnava mood very strongly. So therefore, he is called as Bhakti Rasacharya. So that is Rasikacharya. That is Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Yes, Ghanshyam Anand Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. And I am dandavat pranams to everyone. What I wanted to join this course for is that Srila Prabhupada, he wrote his last commentaries to this 10th canto. So I wanted to understand them and be able to appreciate them, because these are his last instructions to his followers. So that's why I wanted to attend this in yeah. association of devotees.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So in this session, actually, this could be a parallel reading devotees could do because in this particular forum, definitely in the morning sessions when we are covering canto after canto, we will definitely be covering Srila Prabhupada's purports in the morning sessions, in the 8:15 to 9:15 sessions. But in the afternoon sessions now, we will be covering Srila Vishnu Chakritakur Sara Darshan here. Okay, we have a few more comments which have been shared in the chat box. Some of them I will read. I registered because through other courses I have learned a lot. I am fortunate to start from day one, as other courses I found out later. Looking forward to deep insights. Okay, I am positive that this will improve my sadhana and bring me closer to Krishna. We all hope and pray that through reading about Krishna's pastimes, we all come closer to Krishna. That is the purpose of the pastimes. Okay, there is one more comment. To enhance the knowledge and take the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, and to increase the mood to read Srila Prabhupada's books and desire to know the mood of the acharyas. Yeah, what better way to know, understand the mood of the acharyas than to read their commentaries, which Srila Prabhupada calls are my devotional, my purports are my devotional ecstasies. So it's not just for Prabhupada, it's for all the acharyas. Their commentaries are their devotional ecstasies. Okay. One more comment. These sessions are definitely impacting my sadhana to become more sincere and relishable. And the 10th canto of Srila Vishnu Chakritakur's commentary is a very nectarian presentation that I wouldn't want like to miss. Okay. Okay, Braj Govind Prabhu says, we have heard the commentary of Srila Vishnu Chakritakur on the 10th canto, 9th chapter most of the times. So I had a strong desire to go through the full commentary of Vishnu Chakritakur on 10th canto. And obviously, my absorption in Bhagavatam increased since 2013. Okay. Reading and learning Srimad Bhagavatam with the devotees is the right way to enhance one's understanding, and that leads to the real life application. This is very correct. Srimad Bhagavata Arthanam Aswadaihi Rasikaihi Sat. What makes Bhagavatam one of the five most potent limbs of devotional service is actually the exercise of studying it in the association of Vaishnavas. So in the association of Vaishnavas, you know, because we all are individuals, we all have had our own set of experiences in lives, some pleasurable, not so pleasurable. So therefore, we all are prone to looking at even these, the words of the scriptures through the eyes of our own experience. So our looking may end up becoming very subjective than objective. So when I say subjective, of course, our experience, our ecstasies of studying the scriptures, it's all subjective only. But when I say about subjective reading, it means because based on our experience, we may have many different types of prejudices, you know, that we may have. So we may look at the scriptures and start studying the scriptures and trying to understand the scriptures through those prejudices. But in the association of Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas may share their understanding. So in which, you know, each Vaishnava may try to nullify the prejudices. And when we study association of Vaishnavas, we will become all the more aware of our prejudices. Right? So therefore, many times people say, devotees say that, you know, pratyaksha praman is not very, pratyaksha praman is not very reliable because our senses are faulty, right? Because our senses are faulty and we may, you know, there are many different issues with pratyaksha praman we see. And we may tend to misinterpret, we may try to, the cheating propensity is there. Karana, patanga, vipralipsa and all those things. But someone may say, look, when you are hearing shastras also, when we are hearing shastras, the same thing we may carry into studying the shastras also, right? We are still hearing with our ears and interpreting the shastras through our mind. So the same problems which are there in pratyaksha praman may be there in shabda praman also. Okay. So how do you nullify this? So the best way to nullify this is to study shastras in the association of devotees, because not all the devotees carry the same kind of prejudice, right? So in the association of devotees, you know, our prejudices get cut. Okay, like for example, you know, we may interpret a verse in a particular way, but another devotee will say, but Prabhuji, Prabhupada explains this in this way, means to contradict your presentation. How do you reconcile? Someone else will say, oh, but you are speaking like this, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his explanation speaks like this, which seems to be totally contradicting to what you say. How do you reconcile? You are speaking like this, but often heard my Guru Maharaj speak like this and emphasize like this. Your emphasis seems to be misplaced. Why this misplaced emphasis? How do you reconcile? So in this way, if there is an open forum where devotees come together and with the sincere desire to understand the scriptures properly, when they come together and have an opportunity for discussion, that is the best opportunity to kind of nullify the chance of prejudice being and prejudice understanding of the shastras. Otherwise, individual reading and individual presentations of shastras to people who may just be hearing from us, it is always a little bit risky, because we may carry our prejudice and present those prejudice. But if it is an open forum where devotees have an equal opportunity to share their understandings or, you know, seek clarifications, then it's a very healthy forum where all the problems of pratyaksha pramana are to a great extent minimized. So, and also because, you know, so many sincere devotees with a sincere desire to progress in Krishna consciousness, they come together, the vibes are so powerful that, and even those vibes will actually shoot down our prejudices. So therefore, a much more purer form of hearing the shastras and discussing shastras is possible only in the association of devotees. So therefore, this is a very wonderful point. Reading and learning Srimad Bhagavatam with the devotees is the right way to enhance one's understanding. And that leads to real life application. This is a very wonderful point. Okay. Love of Krishna is in the hearts of the devotees, and we can receive it by hearing from them. True. The nectar of Canto 10 should be heard from in the association of sincere and humble devotees. Okay. One more point. 10th canto is the crescendo of Srimad Bhagavatam. I had a deep desire to study to increase my appreciation of Srimad Bhagavatam and attachment to Krishna. And I find no better opportunity than to learn in such an august assembly of devotees who love the subject and who love to understand and who has a deep concern for understanding. Okay. So, okay, someone else says, I wanted to have strong faith in the Acharya for Parampara. Thank you so much. Okay. Okay, another point. I joined the session because in these sessions, we discuss purely what the Acharyas have to say. Okay. And second, we take discussions through questions, comments, which make us deeply think, understand the topic better. Yeah. So actually, you know, the best form of study is when maximum people are inspired to be thoughtful hearers or speakers or inquirers, right? So the best way of inspiring thoughtfulness is either to ask questions or to allow them to ask questions. Because if you have to answer a question, they have to be thoughtful. Or if they have to ask a question, they have to be thoughtful. Without being thoughtful, one can neither ask a question or answer a question. So if there is a forum, when there is an opportunity to ask a question or answer a question, then it definitely can impair thoughtfulness. And somehow by Krishna's mercy, we have kept that option completely open. Such discussions also make our ability to use Shastra Yukti stronger. Shastra Yukti is scriptural logic. And not Pratyaksha Pramana or Anuman Pramana. And fourth, Sri Vishnachakya Thakur has resolved apparent contradictions in the commentary of previous acharyas. This is a very wonderful reason. And since it's the Ashraya Tattva, the purpose of reading other cantos and Gaudiya Vaishnava mainstay. Yeah, that's why we should definitely understand the 10th canto and relish the 10th canto. Even though this is an online forum, but I get powerful experience of like-minded association who have the same goal that Lord Chaitanya came to give. So wonderful. Yeah. So this is very sajatiya ashe smigde sadhu sangha svatovare. So even though this is an online forum, but this is an online forum of like-minded Vaishnavas who share a common aspiration. So definitely it's a very good family to be a part of. Yes. There is another quote that Adi Bhagavan Prabhu gives from Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani introduction, which gives a lot of encouragement to study Srimad Bhagavatam in the right mood. So this is a quote. I will read this quote. Okay, what I am reading is from the chat box, so you can all read it in the chat box if in case you have, you know, I am not reading it from anywhere else. Okay, in 1974, when Srila Prabhupada greeted his disciples in Vrindavan at the major international ISKCON festival, he encouraged them to reflect on and aspire for this perfection. He also warned that such a confidential quest, the goal of which is suitable for Paramahamsas, must be approached with great caution and reverence. He explained that the first steps in the quest included understanding Krishna and his devotional service by studying the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. That initial study complete, their hearts purified, devotees could then hear Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto and develop attraction for the service of his associates. Following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, devotees could finally hear Krishna's pastimes in the gopis without mistaking such leelas for mundane romantic affairs. This was the path to perfection. So, Prabhupada said, this is my request. You have come to Vrindavan. Try to understand what is Vrindavan Dham, what is Radha Krishna, but very cautiously, very carefully. Go through the Panchatattva. Gradually, you will be able to understand. That is perfection. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy that Aradhya Vastu, the worshipable Lord is Krishna, and as he is worshipable, his dham is also worshipable. Follow the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we will be favored by the grace of Krishna to understand him and his pastimes with Srimati Radharani, like that. So okay, someone else says, to hear more about Krishna and purify my existence. Okay, there is another question here. What would be your suggestion while hearing these sessions? Well, it depends. Either you could take notes, or you could hear and participate in the discussions. So that would be a very powerful way of getting benefited through these sessions. So okay, so thank you very much for sharing your very wonderful comments and thoughts. So let us now, before we start, I would like to tell one very important thing. So here, when we are going to read His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj's translation of Srila Vishwanatha Chaitanya Thakur's commentary, Srila Bhanuswami Maharaj, initially, he started with the 10th canto Saranta Darshini translation. So when he did that, he used Srila Prabhupada and BBT's translation in the BBT's translation, and he translated Srila Vishwanatha Chaitanya Thakur's commentary only. But in the other cantos, what he did is he gave the translation according to the explanations of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Okay, so you will see that the translation and purport would be very much in sync. But when he first did the 10th canto, for whatever reason, I did not try to seek clarification from him. He retained Srila Prabhupada's translation. Subsequently, after 13 chapters, BBT's translation, he just translated the commentary. So that's why you will see here in the 10th canto, when we are trying the translations, they may not exactly match completely with the commentary, because these are not translations based on Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's explanation, but these are the Prabhupada's translation. And Srila Prabhupada had a very unique way of writing translations, okay, of explaining the verses. So there is one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, his name is Sarvabhavana Prabhu. So Sarvabhavana Prabhu is one of the devotees who had been sanctioned by Srila Prabhupada for translating books from Sanskrit, for the Acharya's books from Sanskrit to English and Bengali to English, because he was expert at it. So once when Sarvabhavana Prabhu was having a conversation with Srila Prabhupada, I will just try to read that conversation for you. I will share the screen with you. Give me a second. So, yeah. Can you see the folio screen in front of you? Okay. So, here if you see, Sarvabhavana Prabhu shares his conversation with Prabhupada. Sarvabhavana Prabhu says, regarding translating, Prabhupada gave me some wonderful instructions that I treasure and try to follow. he told me there are two ways of translating. One is literal and the other is bhavartha. Bhavartha means to capture the spirit, to convey the deep spiritual and devotional mood of the acharya who wrote the original work. So bhavartha can also be literal. You know, when you are literally translating, Sarva Bhavana Prabhu is not the salted bread Sarva Bhavana Prabhu. This is the difference of Bhavana Prabhu. Salted bread Sarva Bhavana Prabhu was not a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Okay. So here bhavartha, when you understand the bhava, you can sort of literally translate it while reading the bhava. But Prabhupada's way of bhavartha translation, like for example, now Bhanuswami Maharaj translates Srila Vishwanatha Chakravartakur's explanations. It is literal and at the same time bhavartha. Okay. So it is a literal translation, but literal with perfectly understand the mood of the acharya. Right? So, but Prabhupada's bhavartha translation is many times purportic. So he may write purports in his translation only. So even though you know, some aspects of what he writes in the translation may not be the original verse only. But that is in the heart of the acharyas. So he will write it in the translation only instead of writing it in the commentary. Mostly what the acharyas do is they add such details in their commentary while keeping their translation very closely literal. Okay. But Prabhupada many times adds those powerful ecstasies and moods in his translation only. So sometimes you will see many things that he writes in the translation are not there in the original verse. And sometimes certain phrases which are there in the original verse are not exactly accounted for in the translation. It may be there in the word-to-word meaning. I am not sure if any one of you have done this exercise or at least observed that when you read Srila Prabhupada's translation sometimes, you know, some words are there in the word-to-word meaning, but they may not be there in the translation. And sometimes, certain things are there in the translation which is not there in the original text only. Have any one of you observed this? You can either type it in the chat box or raise your hand, whatever you're comfortable, right? So that is actually bhavartha. So Prabhupada says that that one is literal and the other is bhavartha, to capture the spirit, to convey the deep spiritual and devotional mood of the acharya who wrote the original work. Prabhupada said, I prefer bhavartha, to translate the spirit and mood of these writings, rather than to translate literally. Okay. I want you to read the original Bengali or Sanskrit or Hindi, understand it, formulate it in your own words and write it. So, well, the only issue that one may face in this kind of a translation is that if you have noticed that you know, we try to do this anvaya, you know, like this is the you know, this is the verse and this is the translation, and you try to fit in the words. The translation is in format, the verse itself is in poetry format. So you write the poetry in the form of prose so that it makes very perfect sense. So that is what we have done here. But sometimes in doing this, cannot exactly match and map the words. because the translation itself is bhavartha. So therefore, to do that becomes a little bit difficult. And many times, Prabhupada, this is once he shared, Prabhupada's original, the longest Sanskrit editor of Srila Prabhupada, Pradyumna Prabhu. So Pradyumna Prabhu shared how Prabhupada used to write his books, especially his Bhagavatam. So Pradyumna Prabhu said that Prabhupada used to read Shrila Swami's commentary, Jiva Goswami's commentary, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, and generally in the word to word, he will generally use Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, explanations of the words. In the translation, he would add, he would make the translation based on Srila Goswami's explanation. And in the commentary, he will add their points and his own points. So the problem with this is that, so because Prabhupada wanted to give maximum mileage in his books, okay, so why should the devotees be bereft of the explanations of all the acharyas? So in the word to word, you give the word meanings as explained by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and in the translation, you explain it as Jiva Goswami has explained. And if some additional purports need to be added, add that also. And in the purport itself, you add the comments of Sridhar Swami, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, all of them. And one's own reflects and revelations, everything is added. So maximum mileage in one purport. This is very wonderful. But the only issue that may come is if you try to map the words, the word meanings with the translation, many times it becomes a problem. You know, you cannot do, because there may not be perfect mapping of the word meanings and the translations. Right? So, therefore, in the 10th canto, to do this kind of anvaya, it's very difficult, because, you know, the translations are bhavartha. They are not very literal. So, I again wish to clarify, it's not, Vaishnavas do literal translation, understanding the bhava of the acharya. It's not that it is in any way inferior. So, Bhanu Maharaj's translation, writing translation based on Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's expressions, not, so even though it is literal, but when a literal translation is made by a Vaishnava who understands the bhava of the acharyas, then that kind of literal translation is as good as the translation. So here, that is one thing which I wish to clarify to you, that you may say that Prabhuji, ye word kidhar se aaya, matlab, this is not there, it is there in the translation, but it is not there in the verse. Yeah, because it is little bit of a bhavartha explanation words. So therefore, it will become little difficult to map. And some of them, I literally struggled very much to do that. So I am just telling this to you beforehand, like that. So what we will try to do is we will, the session will be very similar to the morning Bhagavatam sessions, where we will read the verse, we will try to understand the translation, we will go through the purports and we will have some discussions. But the only difference is that in the morning sessions, because it's a very short session, we used to take questions only towards the end. But we may not necessarily do it here. We may have to take questions more often and discussions more often, because morning we are, but the afternoon sessions, the way we have done it always is that generally a very close core group of devotees come, and we generally encourage a lot of some nice discussions through which a lot of wonderful churning happens. So we have always kept the afternoon discussions that way, and we will keep it that way only. So so therefore, there will definitely be a difference in pace that you will notice between the morning sessions and the afternoon sessions. We will definitely the pace will be a little bit slower with lot more scope for discussions, because that is important. We will try our best to balance it to some degree, but definitely we can't keep it exactly like the morning sessions where only the last 10-15 minutes we allocate for questions and discussions. We will not do that here. We will have more frequent discussions. Okay. With that preface, let us start the discussion. So thank you all very much again for registering for the course and joining the course. So for those of you who are new to these sessions, in the WhatsApp group, you will daily receive reminders, and you will also, of course, the Zoom link is the same for all my sessions. You will get the reminders. You will get the YouTube links after the class gets over. You'll get the playlist. You'll get the notes, everything you will get. Okay. That was a preface. So let us start now with the first verse of 10th canto. Actually, 10th canto, Srila Prabhupada titles as the Samam Bonam, or of the 10 topics, it is the Ashraya Tattva. Okay. So in the first section, we are going to see how Parikshit Maharaj expresses his gratitude to Shukadeva Goswami and Lord Shri Krishna. So that is the first section. We are going to read that. Let's read. Shri Raja Uvacha Katito Vamsha Vistaro Bhavata Somasuryayoho Rajnyam Chobaya Vamshyanam Charit Paramadbhutam. Bhavata Vistaro Katitaha. My dear Lord, you have elaborately described Soma Surya Yoho Vamshaha, the dynasties of both the moon god and sun god. You know, in the 9th canto, he described about the dynasties of the moon god and the sun god. Okay. So, Charitam Paramadbhutam, with the exalted and wonderful character, Ubhaya Vamshyanam, of the kings who came in their lineage. So, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with the exalted and wonderful character of the kings. So, in that lineage only, he described about Krishna's pastimes in the 9th canto, towards the end of 9th canto. And he also, in the Surya Vamsha, he described about Lord Ramachandra and his pastimes. And then Chandra Vamsa, he described about Krishna and his pastime. Okay. Srila Vishnu Chakradakur says, in this verse, Parikshit Maharaj praises Shukadeva Goswami for his previous Bhagavatam descriptions. He did this to thank Shukadeva Goswami and to encourage him to continue speaking Harikatha. Being naturally a devotee of Lord Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj especially wanted to hear more about the wonderful glories of Shri Krishna. Though the word Surya, the sun god, would usually come before Soma, the moon god, Soma is mentioned first. This is because moon god Chandra is the grandson of Brahma and Amsha of Brahma, the deity of the mind. And most importantly, Shri Krishna appeared in his dynasty, Soma Vamsha. So there are two reasons mentioned, because here he asks, Soma Surya Yoho. It must have been, he must have spoken the name of Surya first and Soma second. But here he mentions the name of Soma first and Surya second. And he gives two reasons. First, Soma is the grandson of Brahma, and therefore he is an Amsha of Brahma, and also who is the deity of mind. And the most important reason that he says is that Shri Krishna appeared in this dynasty. So therefore, he says Soma Surya Yoga. So he says, though the wonderful activities of Swayambhuva and his dynasty were related in the fourth canto, they did not culminate in sweetness. However, sweetness was finally attained with the descriptions of Krishna, who appeared in the moon dynasty, Soma Vamsha, and Lord Rama of the sun dynasty, Surya Vamsha. Thus, the discussions of these dynasties became very prominent in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, fourth canto, fifth canto, sixth canto, when all this, descriptions of, the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu, third canto onwards, there were descriptions of the leaf of Swayambhuva Manu, third, four, five. But then it did not culminate in complete sweetness. But here, these discussions, which culminated in description of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes and Lord Krishna's pastimes, they have culminated in sweetness. Like that. Then, he continues, Yadoscha dharmashilasya nitaramunisattama tatramshenavatirnasya Vishnor Viryani Shamsanaha. O Munisattama, O best of the Munis, Yadoscha Nitaram Dharmashilasya. You have also described the descendants of Yadu. Okay. You have also described, is not directly there in the verse, but it is implied here. Okay. You have also described the Yadoscha Nitaram Dharmashilasya, the descendants of Yadu, who are very pious and strictly adherent to religious principles, which both so Hare Krishna, can you hear my voice? Okay, can you hear my voice now? I'm sorry, I think I had some internet issues. It got disconnected. I'm really sorry. Okay. So, yeah, he says that, oh, best of the Munis, you have described the descendants of Yadu who are very pious and strictly adherent to the religious principles. Now, if you will kindly describe, please, if you will, kindly describe the wonderful and glorious activities of Krishna who appeared in that Yadu dynasty with Baladev. So please describe this. This is the question asked by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, Srila Sri Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadeva Goswami. So he says, Yadoho. So he says, you have also previously described the pious nature of the Yadu. Though you disobeyed his father's order because of his pure devotion, his exalted character is praised in the 9th and the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. So Yadu was whose son? Anyone knows? Anyone knows whose son was Yadu? Yayati, you're right. Who was the other son of Yadu who accepted old age? Puru, right? So, Puru and Yadu. Yadu actually did not accept his father's request to accept his old age. Puru accepted. But Yadu disobeyed his father's order because of his pure devotion, there was a pure devotional reason why Yadu did not accept it. So he is not criticized for doing that. So therefore, his exalted character is praised in the 9th and the 11th cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. So then he is addressing him as Muni Sattama. Parikshit addresses Shukadev as the king of the Munis, Muni Sattama, because as a sage, Shukadev Goswami is completely knowledgeable, and as a devotee, Sat, he is the chief, since he established the supreme guna of bhakti. So he is not just a Muni. Muni means one who is knowledgeable. That is the connotation of the word Muni. He is certainly knowledgeable, but he is not just a Muni. He is Muni Sat Tama. Sat means devotee. Tama means best. He is Sat Tama means best of the devotees, apart from being knowledgeable. So Muni Sattama means he has the best of the knowledge of the Bhakti Shastras. That is the meaning of Muni Sattama. And then he says, Vishnor Viryani, please speak about the heroic exploits of Krishna. But he uses the word Vishnu here. Please describe the heroic exploits of he who has appeared as the person whose Amsha is Vishnu in Vaikuntha. You see here, this is a different explanation. Srila Prabhupada explains Vishnor Viryani Shamsanaha. Please describe the wonderful and glorious activities of Lord Vishnu. Okay. Tatra Amshena Avatirnasya. This is explained by Srinath Chakradhakur in a slightly different way. Avatirnasya, please describe about the exploits of that person who has appeared as that person whose Amsha is Vishnu in Vaikuntha. So Vishnu is the Amsha of that personality who has descended in this earth. So here, Amshena, as explained by Srila Prabhupada, Amshena refers to Krishna's Amsha, which is Baladev. Amshena Avatirnasya means Krishna, please describe his pastimes, Krishna's pastimes who has descended with his Amsha, which is Baladev. That is one explanation. But Srila Vishnath Chakradhakur says, so that Vishnu refers to Krishna, according to Prabhupada, which is correct. Actually, Vishnu means, all the names of the Lord are more appropriately applicable to Krishna, actually. Okay, because all the qualities, because the qualities of all the avatars are primarily Krishna's qualities only. Okay, and Krishna is the Amshi. So, to call the Amshi with the name of the Amsha is not incorrect, because ultimately it is Krishna's Amsha. So to call Krishna as Vishnu is not completely incorrect. So he says that, oh, best of the Munis, you have also described the descendant. So here he says, Vishnu or Viryana, please describe the heroic exploits of he who has appeared as that person whose Amsha is Vishnu in Vaikuntha. Another meaning is, please describe the exploits partially, since it is impossible to completely describe Krishna's pastimes. So Amshena goes Amshena Shamsanaha. Amshena Shamsanaha means, please describe briefly, because to completely describe all the pastimes of Krishna will be impossible, and I have just 7 days to live. So Amshena Samshanaha means, you please describe briefly, which means choose the most important of those pastimes and describe to me, because I have just 7 days to live, and you will speak the first 9 cantos. You have already spoken the 9 cantos. So we have very little time. So Amshena Samsha means, please briefly explain it. This is another explanation that is given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur here. Okay. So, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask. There is one question in the chat box. Does the term Vishnu used in the scriptures generally refer to the Lord of Vaikuntha or the three Purusha avatars? Well, the most common usage of the word Vishnu refers to the Purusha avatars, but the word Vishnu is used to indicate Lord Narayana also, and it is used to indicate Krishna also. So, yeah. But the most common usage of the word Vishnu refers to the Purusha avataras. Yes, Krishna Nam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. My yes, understanding Prabhu. Is that Krishna can be called Vishnu because Vishnu is Krishna Kamsa. But Vishnu cannot be called Krishna. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Vishnu is the Kamsa. So,
he cannot be called Krishna.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
Thank you.
Yeah. So therefore, it is even though in CRT we say Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi, you know, we don't have to necessarily change it to Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi because it is not Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi. I mean, it's not wrong. But it's a composition by an acharya. We don't have to necessarily change it. Because Vishnu there refers to Krishna only. So many times we see devotees, chanting the Tulsi mantras, Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi. It is not wrong. But why do we have to change the composition of an acharya? You know, if according to him, Vishnu Krishna only. Right? So when we change it, then probably it may seem like, oh, I know better than the acharya, you know. The acharya wrote Vishnu Bhakti, I am saying Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi, so I am pleasing Tulsi Maharani more. It's not like that, you know, whatever it is, the acharyas have given the chant. Right. So when in the conversation between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tattenu Kampam Susamikshamano Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vibhagam Tridva Gopurbir Vidadan Namaste Jivetayo Bhukti Pade Sadayama. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya chit to Bhakti Pade Sadayama, because he said, I cannot tolerate the word Mukti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, well, I appreciate your mood very much, but you cannot change the words of the scriptures like Bhagavatam. So you can't be presumptuous to think that you know better than Shukadeva Goswami, right? So there Mukti Pade, there Moksham Vishwangri Labam Tadamana Bhajanam Tasya Hetum. So Mukti Pade, one main Mukti is to attain the lotus feet of Vishnu only. That is ultimate Mukti. Another meaning is Mukti Pade means at whose lotus feet only Mukti is available. So Mukti Pade refers to the lotus feet of Krishna only. So therefore, we don't have to change it like that. Okay, there is a question. Just a curiosity, what day was it when Srila Shukadeva Goswami started speaking the 10th canto? Was it the 5th or the 6th day? I have no idea. Anyone knows? I have no idea. Yeah. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that we should be saying Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi. Yeah, correct. Okay, with the Purusha avataras and Lord Krishna, the superior to Krishna is well established in the sense that Krishna has no interest in material creation. Yeah, that is true. Yes. Okay, yes, Mother Gay.
Yeah, Mukte Pade, you said one meaning is whose feet liberation is available. And the first meaning was what?
The first meaning is, okay, let me think. What did I say? Mukti Pade. So Mukti Pade means, Mukti Pade means, Moksham, which the actual meaning of Mukti is to attain the lotus feet of Krishna only. So there Mukti does not refer to Sayujya Mukti, there Mukti refers to There Mukti actually refers to okay, someone signed me out. Okay, I'm sorry, just give me a second. Okay. So there Mukti refers actually to lotus feet of Krishna only and did not refer to Sai Chin. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained.
Yes, but I mean, isn't it the same as the second in both cases?
Almost same, yeah.
Okay, and then also with this Tulsi Pranam, I'm feeling kind of uneasy about it because, I mean, I've known that there is these two translations, Krishna and Vishnu.
Are there two? But, no, I think there is only one. But somehow, due to their attraction for Krishna, devotees chant Krishna Bhakti Pradeya Devi. But actually, it is originally Vishnu Bhakti Pradeya Devi only. As Prabhupada gave it as Vishnu Bhakti Pradeya Devi.
Yeah, so my problem is that on the one hand, you know, I feel more comfortable with Krishna. But because the Vishnu translation seems more distant, but at the same time, I don't want to be inaccurate. Like Tulsi's mood, right? Because the issue is Tulsi's, we should chant the prayer according to the mood that Tulsi has, right? So her mood is for Vishnu, not really Krishna, isn't it?
I don't wish to comment on that, and I don't think I'm exactly qualified to comment on that also. So
I mean she relates to the absolute truth as Vishnu more so than Krishna, is it not? But then there's Vrinda, and she's an extension of Vrinda in
the material world.
Golok.
Yeah.
So I mean, in other words, I am attached to saying Krishna because I've done it all my Krishna conscious life. But at the same time, I don't want to go against her mood, you know?
Well, so, I don't know if that is the reason why it is mentioned as Vishnu Bhakti Pradeya Devi. But it is... there Vishnu refers to Krishna. That is my understanding.
Anyway, I guess I just want to find out if I guess if it doesn't maybe matter so much, right? I don't know.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Prabhu. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay, there is a question here. Just a thought. Why generally it is said that, okay, this is a direct message that I have received. Okay, why generally it is said that just follow the acharyas, but when one goes deeper in the shastras, one will be either getting the revelation of why and what the acharyas have written, or one may get a reconciliation or understanding nourishes one's faith and goal. We may not need to change the external form of things. Yeah, true, very true. So that is the point, right? That is the message of this conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You know, from a very pastime perspective, I am speaking. While Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was, you know, he thought, no, I can't even, now that I have become a devotee, I can't even tolerate the word Mukti. So I will change it to Bhakti Pade. So, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh no, here, he took the role of a commentator here, right? So, going deep into the understanding of that verse, where he presents that here, Mukti refers to Bhakti only. So, Mukti refers to not attaining Sahaja Mukti, this refers to attaining the lotus feet of Krishna. So, anyways, okay, let us move on. It is not about Tulsi Aarti, whether you want to chant Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi or Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi. But trust me, even when you chant Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi, you will get Krishna Bhakti only and nothing else. So we don't have to necessarily change what the acharyas have given. Don't worry, if Prabhupada has given the pranam mantra as Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi, by chanting it you will get Krishna Bhakti only and nothing else. Okay, so don't worry, that is my point. So it's not about whether what is most appropriate, Vishnu Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti. Okay, that if the acharya has written something, then that's what is right. Like that. Okay. So next, avatiryaya dorvam she bhagavan bhuta bhavanah kritavanyani vishvatma tani no vada vistara. Bhagavan vishvatma, the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, bhuta bhavana, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, yador vamsh avatirya, appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. So this is Parikshit Maharaj telling Shukadeva Goswami. Tani naha vistarad vada, please tell me elaborately, yani kritavan. Okay, please tell me elaborately about his glorious activity and character from the beginning to the end of his life. Okay, these are all purportic, these are all bhavartha explanations, because you know, yani kritavan, activities that he performed, character is not directly there in the verse itself. Beginning to the end of his life is not there, but it is what Parikshit Maharaj had in his mind, which is quite evident from the way in which Shukadeva Goswami narrated the whole episode, right? So therefore, it's not like he has chosen, he has actually chosen important sins, important pastimes, but he has gone from birth till Krishna winding up his manifest pastimes. So that is how he has described it, right? So it's pretty much in more or less chronology. It's a chronological description, but nevertheless, it is not very explicitly stated in the verse, but Prabhupada has captured that bhavar, and he says, from the beginning to the end of his life, even though it is not explicitly there in the verse, Prabhupada adds it here. Srila Chakravarti Thakur writes, so he says, Parikshit Maharaj said, Shukadev, previously you briefly told how Krishna was taken from Kamsa's prison to Vraja. You did not explain everything in that description. Oh Muni, you described it in only two verses. In two verses, Shukadev Goswami described how Krishna was taken from Kamsa's prison to Vraja. But you did not explain everything in that description. Now I pray that you describe this incident in many verses. So, Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana. Bhagavan Shri Krishna descends to immerse the jivas in prema. Bhava. Bhavana means bhava or prema. And to fill all the living entities with bhava. Bhuta Bhavana means Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana, the Lord who descends to merge all the living entities in prema. That is the meaning of Bhuta Bhavana that he gives here. Okay. So many verses support this point, Srimad Bhagavatam 9:24, 63 and 64. Boja Vrishni Andaka Madhu Shurasena Dashar Dasharha Kaihi Shlagani Yehita Shashvat Kuru Sranjaya Pandubihi Snigda Smitishoda Smita Ikshita Udare Vakke Vikrama Lilaya Nilokam Ramayamasa Murtya Sarvanga Ramyaya. He says, Krishna, whose actions are praised by the descendants of Bhoja, Vrishni, Andaka, Madhu, Shura, Dashaka, Kuru, Sirinjaya, and Pandu, pleased his devotees by his pleasing, affectionate glances, his satisfying instructions, and his heroic actions, using his body, which was pleasing in all respects. Saranga Ramyaya Murtya Vikrama Leelaya Udarair Vakyaihi Snigdha Smikshanaha Nilokam Ramayamasa. So Krishna descended to give pleasure to all his devotees. How? Snigdha Smita Ikshitaha. By his pleasing affectionate glances, Udarair Vakyaihi, by his satisfying instructions, Vikrama Leelaya, by his heroic actions, and Sarvanga Ramyaya Murtya, by his body, which was pleasing in all aspects. So in this way, through all these four ways, so here he is quoting this verse to prove the meaning of Bhuta Bhavana. Bhagavanta Bhavana means Bhagavan Shri Krishna, who descends to immerse the jivas in prema. Bhuta means jivas, bhavana means in prema. Bhuta bhavana means the Lord who descends to immerse the jivas in prema. Like that. So then further he says, Srimad Bhagavatam explains how Krishna gave pleasure to human society by revealing his beautiful, all-attractive form. Avitripta drisham ranam. So the people who took darshan of Krishna, their eyes were always dissatisfied because they could not get enough. They wanted to have more and more darshan. Why? Because of the pleasure that they experienced through that darshan. So that is. So even after tasting Krishna's sweetness, however, the people remained unsatisfied. Everyone developed a desire to constantly taste the sweetness of Krishna. That is the meaning of Bhuta Bhavana. So the Lord who descends to immerse the living entities in prema. Okay. So in this way, Parikshit Maharaj is telling to Shri Goswami, inspiring him, why he should take his Shukadeva Goswami should take his request of speaking about Krishna Leela very seriously. Why he should take it very seriously? That's what he is indicating here. He should take it very seriously because the Lord Bhagavan Bhutavana, because he manifested in this world to fill the living entities with bhava. That was the purpose of his descent. So therefore, I wish to know about this and you should please speak to me about this. Okay. Like that. So, okay. There are some comments or questions in the chat box. I will take that first. Okay, once I heard from Aindra Prabhu for the question which mode we need to worship Shaligram Shila. Because Shaligram Shila is only Krishna and not Vishnu. As Krishna has Parakiya Bhav and not Vishnu. Hence, the one who approached Tulsi can't be Vishnu, it's Krishna only. So, for Mother Gail's question, still Tulsi will just worship her with Krishna only, is it not? Yeah, that is my understanding also, because we see her as being attached to Krishna only, even though these personalities, these perfected devotees may expand into multiple forms, showing multiple moods towards multiple expansions of Krishna. So this is always possible. So in one form, in one mood, she may be worshipping Vishnu. In another mood, she can be worshipping the form of Krishna. This opportunity is available for Krishna's perfected devotees. And this is exactly the section that we are reading in our Brihad Bhagavatamrita only, where he is very, Gopakumar sees Narada Muni in Dwaraka. In Sudharma Hall, Narada Muni is pleasing Krishna by speaking very humorously, sometimes by his divine singing, sometimes by divine playing of his veena. And when Gopakumar meets Narada Muni separately, he said, "I am really astonished, Narada Muni. How is it that when I was in Swarga, when I came to Swarga, I met you. When I was in Vaikuntha, I met you pleasing Lord Narayana. Now I have come to Dwaraka, and in fact you only sent me from Vaikuntha to Dwaraka via Ayodhya. And now I am here in Dwaraka, and still I am finding you here also. I am so astonished. Can you please explain?" Narada Muni says, "Just like the Supreme Lord can expand into multiple forms and multiple abodes, similarly his sincere devotees, servants, they also have been empowered to expand, to assist the Lord's pastimes in different places. Not that everyone expands. Some people who may wish to, worship the Lord in different forms and slightly different modes, that is also facilitated by the Supreme Lord." Okay. So, yeah, we do. So, Tulsi Maharani worships both Krishna and Lord Narayana in Vaikuntha and in Goloka. That is my understanding. Whether Srimad Bhagavatam was narrated by Vyasadeva to Shukadeva Goswami, where much more than what Shukadeva Goswami narrated, it's not very clear. As there were time constraints of just 2 to 3 days remaining. I think it's like, did Vyasadeva, okay, yeah, can you please just, it's not very worded appropriately, I'm not able to understand. I'm getting a sense of what you are speaking, but yeah.
And Krishna Pramiji, we discussed that because there were only 2-3 days remaining. Parikshit Maharaj requested that you narrate me the main points because I am having very less time. So that is why I was having that when Vyasadeva narrated to Shukadeva Goswami, whether there were many much more things were explained to him, but because of the time constraint, later when he explained it to Parikshit Maharaj, the only main points were given. That's what I'm saying.
I don't remember reading that. So I cannot exactly comment on that.
Okay.
So if it was actually mentioned, I can say, but I don't remember reading like that very explicitly. So I cannot exactly comment.
Yeah, because usually when we say that 18,000 verses, it is what Shukadeva Goswami explained it to Parikshit Maharaj. But when we were discussing that, okay, some main points were given. That is why I felt whether it was me. Okay, Pramujan.
Yeah, Nita, are you raising your hands or are you... I see a thumbs up. Did you raise your hands?
I raised my hand.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah.
Yes, I just wanted to comment what I said. That whether it's shortly mentioned or detailed mentioned or what exactly mentioned by the Sukadeva Goswami.
Mm-hmm.
So Jiva Goswami in the 12th canto,
mm-hmm.
Bhagavatam ends actually.
Mm-hmm.
There Jiva Goswami comments, Vishnu Chakra mentioned this comment in the 12th canto also, that
mm-hmm.
Bhagavatam is eternal scripture.
Correct.
So what Shukadeva Goswami spoke is actually from Janmadhyasya Taha.
Correct.
Same thing Vyasa spoke to Shukadeva Goswami.
Correct.
So all the pastimes, even though Vyasa himself speaking about his pastime, it was spoken by Vyasa Sudha Goswami. And Sudha Goswami spoke this pastime to Parikshit Maharaj, starting from Sudha Goswami, Sudha Uvacha. From that point, he starts speaking. Because
that is my understanding.
There are four personalities, they can envision future things.
Correct.
And that's what Jiva Goswami told in the 12th canto Parabhut. Yeah.
Thank you for confirming. So yes, this was my understanding also. In its 18,000 verse form, Bhagavatam is eternal. So whatever Vyasadev spoke to Shukadev Guni was those 18,000 verses which Shukadev Goswami repeated to. So including the conversation between Sudha Goswami and Shaunagadi Rishis was also spoken. So like that. So don't think too much about the chronology because it will become very confusing. So how is it that because Sudha Goswami is going to speak about this in future only. Yeah, but as Nitai Jatana Prabhu quoted Srila Jiva Goswami that these sages were Kalagya. They knew the future also. That is how they could comment on the Kalki avatar and all those things, even though they were going to come in the future. Like that. Yes, Radha Pramod Prabhu, you had raised your hands, did you? Okay. Yes, bro.
Yes, bro. So we have to again clearly verify bro, what Jiva Goswami is trying to tell because it is not fitting linear logic.
Why is not fitting linear logic?
Like they are discussing what is because Sudha Goswami hears from Sukadeva Goswami and comes and tells, and Sukadeva Goswami starts his speaking from second canto.
That is true.
Then now it will be like Parikshit Maharaj is asking to Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami is telling his own story to him. He's telling,
yeah, okay,
Brahma came and you
okay,
will be.
Okay, let's. Okay, so, okay, Nitai Jaitanya Prabhu, if you can just. Confirm which verse it is, if you can share the commentary, we will go through it and maybe it will illuminate some more. Whenever you get time, maybe in this session or later, you can always share. We will get back to this later. Okay. So, let's continue the discussion. So, Parikshit Maharaj continues. Just give me a second. So he says here that Parikshit Maharaj speaking to Shukadeva Goswami. Swamurtyaloka lavanya nirmukya lochanam rinam. Girbhistasmarataam chittam padaistaniksataam priyah achidya kirtim sushlokam vidatya yanjasanukau tamona tamonaya tarishyaniti agatsvam padamishwarah. Achidya, having stolen, so this is not Shukadeva Goswami's. Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur quoting another verse. This is from the 11th canto. I'm really sorry. Yeah. So he is quoting from the 11th canto where it is mentioned. Because the point that we are seeing is this point about Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana, how Krishna descends to immerse the Jivas in Prema. So for that, this verse was also quoted. The 9th canto verse where Trilokam Ramaya Masa Snigda Smita Ikshitaha Udare Vakye Vikrama Leelaya Sarvanga Ramaya Murtya, like that. So now, and also he quotes from the 3rd canto to indicate Avitripta Drisham Nanam. whoever took darshan of the form of Krishna, they were totally unsatisfied because they wanted to get more and more and more. And then he quotes this verse, 11th canto, where it is mentioned, having stolen people's eyes. This is a very figurative way of telling that people were so enchanted seeing the form of Krishna. Having stolen people's eyes with my form, which makes them reject all other beauty, having stolen their voices and ears by my words, and having stolen their minds, and having stolen their movements of their bodies by the markings of my footprints, and having distributed my glories, which are praised by poets, people of the future will be delivered from samsara by glories. Thinking in this way, the Lord made up his mind. So this is another proof of that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is giving, indicating why he is translating Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana as the Lord who descended to immerse the jivas in prema. This is the explanation that he gives. Okay. So then, commenting about Vishwatma, he says, Krishna is called Vishwatma, the super soul of the entire universe, or Paramatma, because he is the true object of love rather than the body or the other jivas. So generally, it is mentioned in Bhagavatam also, it is described that the body generally relatives are dear because they are connected to the body. Body is dear because body is connected to the soul. And soul is dear, the deepest understanding, the soul is dear to someone because the soul is connected to the super soul, the Supreme Lord. So therefore, Bhagavan, the Lord Krishna is addressed here as Vishwatma, the super soul of the entire universe, because he is the true object of love rather than the body or the other jivas. Okay, because body is attractive only because of Atma, only because of its attachment to the Atma. When the Atma leaves, the body is no longer attractive, right? So here he is called as Vishwatma because he is the true object of love in this whole universe. That is the meaning of Vishwatma. So this is explained in Brahma's prayers in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. Vada Vistarat means please explain in detail. Please explain extensively or elaborately, since my intelligence is slow to grasp the subject. So don't summarize because I am incapable of understanding summary. You please speak in detail because I am incapable of understanding. I am slow to grasp the subject matter. So you can speak in detail like that. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move forward? Okay. Yes, Mother Gay.
Yes, can you just repeat that the body is dear because of its connection to the soul, but the reason why it's the super soul is dear to the soul is why?
Yeah, your voice a little bit broke, but I was mentioning that elsewhere in Bhagavatam it is mentioned that one's friends and relatives are dear to one because they are connected to the body. The body is dear to a person because the body is connected to the soul, and the soul itself is dear to a person because the soul is an amsha of the super soul. So therefore here he is addressing Krishna to be Vishwatma. So Vishwatma generally can refer to Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, who is to be the super soul of this whole universe. But the real meaning of the word Vishwatma is that which is the true object of love. So in this whole universe, the true object of is Krishna. And anything which looks attractive is because of its connection with Krishna. So, or in other words, you know, this Vishwatma is connected to Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana. So he immerses the jivas in prema because he is Vishwatma. Vishwatma here means the true object of love of all the living entities. So by that love, he immerses the jivas in prema, like that.
So, I mean, put another way, can we say that the soul is dear to ourselves only because it has a loving relationship with Krishna or Krishna?
Yeah, true.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, let's continue. Next, the famous verse, often we hear about this verse. But it has a very long purport. Let's see how much, whatever we can complete, we will complete. We will not rush. So, Nivritta Tarshair Upagiya Manat Bhavo Shadat Shrotra Mano Viramat Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanu Vandat Puman Virajeta Vinapa Shubnat. So now we are going to see a classic example of Bhavartha translation. So he says, Uttama Shloka Gunanu Vadat. Anuvada means to description of Uttama Shloka Guna, means description of the qualities of the Supreme Lord. Okay. Or glorification of the Supreme Lord's qualities. That's what, that is the meaning of Uttama Shloka Gunanu Vadat. Now you see Prabhupada's explanation of this. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system, that is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. You know. So he is probably describing this word Anu. Anuvadat. Anu means to follow. Uttama Shloka Guna Anuvadat. So Anu indicates parampara. Right, glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. That is the meaning of Uttama Shloka Guna Anuvadat. Nivritta Tarshair Upagiyamanad. Tarsha means Krishna, deep thirst, desire. Nivritta means those who are freed from desire. Here, in this context, it refers to material desire. Upagiyamanad. So, such glorification is carried out by those who are free of all kinds of material desires. Srila Prabhupada writes, such glorification is relished by those who no longer are interested in the false glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Nivritta Tarshair Upagiyamana. So this Uttama Shloka Guna Anuvada. Hearing and chanting of the glorification of the Lord in the Parampara system is relished by those who are from the desire to enjoy the material world. Nivritta Tarshair Upagiyamana. And what is the nature of this Uttama Shloka Guna Anuvada? Bhavaushadat Shrotra Mana Abhiramat. Bhava Samsara Aushadha is medicine. So this is the right medicine to escape the ocean of material existence. Shrotra means ears. Manaha means mind. Abhiramat means it gives great pleasure. Shrotra Manobhiramat means it gives great pleasure to the ears and the heart or mind. So here he says, descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. And also, Shrotra Manobhiramat is not directly mentioned here. So it is not exactly accounted for in the translation, but it is understood. Shrotra ears, mana is mind, Abhirama, it gives great pleasure. Right? As in Satam Prasangad Mamavirya Samvido, Bhavanti Hrit Karna Rasayana Kata. Hrit Karna Rasayana is the same as Shrotra Manobhirama. It acts as a nectarian beverage for the ears and the heart. Like that. Kaha Puman Virajeta. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord? Vina Pashudna, except the butcher, one who is killing his own self. Vina Pashudna, except for a person who is very grossly sinful and degraded, who is that person who would not be interested in hearing the subject matter? This is Srila, this is what Parikshit Maharaj is telling. I am very interested in hearing the subject matter because Nivritta Tarshay Upagiyamana, because this subject matter is heard and glorified by those who have completely given up the desire for enjoying in this material world. Bhavoshada, this descriptions, hearing these descriptions acts as a medicine for escaping the samsara of this world. Shrotra Manobhirama, it pleases the ears and it pleases the heart. And Kaha Puman Virajeta Vina Pashudna, except for a butcher or one who is killing his own self, who is that person who would not be interested in hearing such a glorification of the Lord? That's what here he's explaining. So here, very beautiful way in which Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti starts this purport. He says, I am taking whatever remnants Sridhar Swami and Sanatana Goswami have left. That's what he says. King Parikshit said to Shukadeva Goswami, I am a tiny jiva bound up by the disease of material life. How can I stop drinking the great medicine of Krishna's pastimes recited by you, who are the best of doctors endowed with the greatest fortune? So, if Krishna Katha or Bhagavatam canto is Bhavaushadi, it is the perfect medicine for escaping samsara, then I am the jiva who is bound in the samsara. The 10th canto description is the Bhavaushadi. And you, Shukadeva Goswami, you are the doctor. You are administering this medicine to me. Like that, he says. So with this intention, Parikshit Maharaj speaks this verse. Tarshair, thirst, Trishna, or attachment to material enjoyment. That is the meaning of Tarshair. Nivritta Tarshair therefore means, by taking the medicine of hearing Krishna's pastimes, one extinguishes the thirst for material life. So this is the explanation given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, which is slightly different from what Srila Prabhupada has explained. Prabhupada says, only those who have completely given up the desire to enjoy in this world will take up to hear Krishna Katha with great relish. This is Prabhupada's explanation, which is right. perfect. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti gives an alternate explanation. He says, anyone who takes interest in hearing Krishna Katha, he will become Nivritta Tarshe. He will become, so that hearing Krishna Katha will extinguish the thirst for material life from his heart. This is another explanation that he gives. Okay. So Nivritta Tarshair indicates pure devotees, not jnanis, because of the use of present tense and the prefix upa in upagiyamanad. Okay. Nivritta Tarshair upagiyamanad. So Nivritta Tarshair indicates pure devotees, not jnanis, because of the use of the present tense. Okay, I will try to confirm what this means. Okay, jnanis meditate, but they do not chant Krishna's glories. So the verse upagiyamana means they sing. Singing is not a part of jnana sadhana, it is a part of bhakti sadhana. Therefore, Nivritta Tarshair means those, generally the jnanis are said to be free of any material desires. But they don't sing the glories of Krishna. They may meditate. So therefore, the word upagiyamanad indicates that it indicates devotees and not jnanis, because singing the glories is not a part of jnana sadhana, it is a part of bhakti sadhana. So therefore, Nivritta Tarshair here refers to devotees and not jnanis. So he says, liberated pure devotees continually glorify the practice of hearing Krishna Katha over jnana and other processes. Upagiyamanad. Upa indicates intense or continuous glorification. Upagiyamanad. In other words, we loudly praise this medicine as it has cured us of our disease. What more can be said about tasting it? You say you are the taster. Okay. So he says, Parikshit Maharaj, out of humility, he says that you are tasting it, you are relishing it. For me, it is a medicine. For you, it is a nectarian beverage. But it has worked on me also. It has cured me of my disease of material attachment. But for you who are completely freed of material attachment, it is helping, you are relishing it so much. Like that he is describing. Okay. So then he says, Bhavaushadat. Okay. So Bhavaushadat, who could stop drinking the sweet topics of Krishna, which are like a medicine, cure the disease of material existence. So who could stop drinking the sweet topics of Krishna, which are like a medicine to cure the disease of material existence, or bhava? In other words, those who get the opportunity to hear the pastimes of Krishna will not stop listening, because it cures them of the disease of material existence. Punantite vishaya vidoshitashayam vrajanti tacharana sarorukantikam. So it is Bhavaushada also, and it is Shrotra Manovirama. It is Bhavaushada, it acts as a medicine to escape the material samsara for those who are sadhakas, who are very much controlled by the material nature. But for those who have already transcended the material nature, the perfected devotees, it acts as Shrotra Manovirama. It acts as a nectarian beverage for their ears and their heart, like that. So therefore, those who get the opportunity to hear the pastimes of Krishna will not stop listening, because it cures them of the disease of material existence. So then he says, Shrotra means listener. Because such topics please the mind, Manovirama, neither the speaker of Krishna Katha nor the listener tires of hearing about Krishna. Someone may say, okay, it may be pleasing to the ears, but after some time one will get bored. He says, no, because manobhirama gives great pleasure to the mind. So one will not get bored. So further he says, manobhirama, unlike other medicines, this medicine does not have a bitter taste. Okay, that is why bhavaushadhi, because as soon as one who hears the name of the one who hears the word aushadhi, they may think, oh, it must be something bitter. He says, no. Shrotra manobhiramat. Manobhiramat means it pleases, gives great pleasure to the mind. So therefore, it is not bitter. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj says, manobhiramat. Krishna Katha gives great pleasure to the ears and the mind. Even though it acts as a medicine, but it is very pleasing also. We will pause here and continue the rest of the purport. Actually, before you drop out, please do not drop out. We wanted to start on a very auspicious day of Rukmini Dwadashi. So we decided and we started it today. This Chaturdashi happens to be Narasimha Chaturdashi. So Thursday, we will not be having our session because we will be celebrating Lord Narasimhadev's appearance day. So we will have to continue this next Tuesday only. So I apologize that we are having to cancel the very second session after we started this 10th canto on an auspicious day. But nevertheless, I think we have to take these things as and when they come. So there will be festival days when we will be able to do it. So apart from that, I will try my best not to cancel any of these sessions from my side. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. So meet you all next Tuesday. So wish you all a very happy Narasimha Chaturdashi. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.